All right, look in your Bibles, the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 22, Psalm 22 tonight. And I appreciate the good choir singing, congregational singing, primary choir. Appreciate that so very much. I do enjoy those children singing. That blesses my heart, amen. And we want to look a little further in this psalm. I thought maybe I'd get done with that, but I'm not. I want to spend a little bit more on the latter verses the next time we look into this passage and look into the minor prophets a little bit as well as we conclude Psalm 22. But I look at one particular verse, but we'll read several, but then we'll deal with one of the verses tonight. And as we move along in our study of Psalm 22. All right, Psalm 22, you're well and able to stand tonight. Psalm 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. Psalm 22 and verse 22. The Bible said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before it, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight again for the opportunity to stand and to preach the word of God. I pray for just a few minutes you strengthen my voice and my body. I pray you touch me by the Holy Ghost that I might preach exactly that which would be pleasing in your sight tonight. Lord, my heart desire is to glorify you. Lord, to make you pleased, to do your bidding. I pray tonight that you'd touch us and help us. I pray for that that's lost tonight. I pray the Spirit of God would so convict them, Lord, they would not be able to push it off, but Lord, they'd run to you and be saved. Lord, in my heart tonight, I believe you've been dealing with somebody that's lost throughout this day. And Lord, right here again tonight, they said, needing to be born again. Help us as your people. Help us to grow in the Word of God. Help us to walk with you and bring you glory. Lord, all you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've been preaching off and on some in this psalm, and we mentioned to you that we've used the title of Christ, our sacrifice, as this psalm is written in prophetic form. I deal with the death, burial, and resurrection. We looked at this psalm's divided into two parts. There is the gloom of verse 1 through verse 21, and then there's the glory of verse 22 through verse 31. We saw in the gloom Christ and his cries, Christ and the crown, and Christ and the cross. And then the last time we looked at the psalm, we began that second division on the glory. And I am glad it ain't all gloom. Amen. I'm glad for the glory. Amen. Calvary was a dark place, was an awful place, but thank God he didn't stay dead. Amen. And we saw last time about the resurrection of our Savior in verses 22 through verse 25. We know he resurrected, for he said, I'll declare it among the congregation. For him to do that, he had to resurrect. And we saw that was a bodily resurrection. We saw my friend, not only a bodily resurrection, but a broadcast resurrection, and then a beneficial resurrection. I'm going to pick up with verse 26 tonight, and we'll nip this verse, and then we'll be done. We see here, not only in the glory, there's the resurrection of the Savior, but then there's the regeneration of the sinner. In verse 26, look at the verse. He said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. I'm glad to report to you everything Christ went through, his death, his burial, and the resurrection was with you in mind. This plan of salvation was the goal, and it was met, and it was satisfying the holy God, his death, his burial, and resurrection. Can I remind you what Jesus himself said in Luke 19 and verse 10? He said, for the Son of man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what the whole purpose of him coming to earth was about. Yes, he performed miracles. Yes, he did some great things, resurrected the dead. But ladies and gentlemen, he came that us that are lost, and that's everybody, I could be saved by his finished work. We find out according to the book of Hebrews. And I thought about this verse today in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. We see in Romans chapter 4, I thought about this verse and didn't mention it this morning, but verse 25 of Romans 4 said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, he had to die to pay the penalty, but he had to resurrect that we could be justified. Amen. Hey, I'm glad Christ Jesus came into the world for the purpose of Calvary. You say, preacher, you're hung up there. Good place to get hung up. Amen. Them old time preachers told me, don't get a hobby horse, but if you get hung up anywhere, make it Calvary. Amen. That's the message we're to tell this world, what Christ did, that they could be free too. Amen. Hey, let me say this about regeneration of sinners. Three things and I'm done. I ain't gonna hold you on. But I do believe this in all my heart, as I said when I prayed, I believe God's been a deal with somebody. Believe that. Hey, you said you know who they are. I sure don't. But I know God don't put messages on the men of God's heart for nothing. I'm not beating the air today. Amen. Hey, I promise you this. If you're the one here lost tonight, if you refuse and don't get saved at the judgment day, I've got to tell you, you had two messages trying to woo you to Christ that you would get saved. Amen. Now, if a person to be regenerated, now, I'm using the word regeneration because of the alliteration. And I believe you understand that. The word regeneration, same word as meaning salvation. Now, we must be born again. Now, I'm interested in three things about the regeneration of sinners. May I say, first of all, the Spirit must convict. You'll never get saved without the wooing of the Holy Spirit. I promise you, you won't. You're not interested till he does. I want you to follow with me tonight. In John chapter 16, we find Jesus is speaking to his disciples just a little bit before he's betrayed and crucified. And he's sharing some great truth with the disciples. In John 16 and beginning in verse 7, listen to what Jesus said. And if you ever find somebody says, I just believe the words and read them or in red. Amen. The Lord's the one's letting you know why the Spirit of God came. Now, understand this. The Holy Ghost never brags on himself. His purpose is to point to Jesus. Amen. And what he speaks to us, the Spirit of God, is what the Lord sent to him. That's right. And Jesus said in John 16 and beginning in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. That word expedient means it's better, it's profitable, it's good that I do go away so that the Spirit of God can come. Why is he coming, Lord? For if I go not away, the captain will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, why is he doing his work? And what is his work? He will reprove the world. That word reprove. Now, you've got some people who want to fight about words. Now, next time I'm going to be looking at some verses in Psalm 22 dealing with the millennial reign of Christ. Do you know there's some folk don't like the word millennium or millennial reign, and they say it's not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible's not in the Bible either. There are just some words that are used, and they sum up what we're saying. Somebody said one time, the word convict is not in the Bible. Well, it is, but it's in another form. The word reprove there. And when he has come, he will reprove the world. That word reprove means to convict. It means to convince. Amen. It means to call to an account, show one his fault, and demand an explanation. You realize when the Spirit of God begins reproving, he is convicting and he is convincing. I want you to know this. Hear me real good. Nobody had to tell me I was lost after the Holy Ghost reproved me. Nobody. You didn't have to convince me. The Holy Ghost convinced me. Amen. Now, I want everybody to look at me just a minute. Do you know a place and time in your life that by the Spirit of God, you recognize you as a sinner? That's conviction. Amen. Because there's some want you to believe conviction, something else. Conviction is the Spirit of God revealing to you that you're a sinner. Because as we go on in these verses, look at it. He said when he's come, he will reprove the world first of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then he expounds upon it. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He'll reprove you of sin. He'll let you see you're a sinner. He said, look at that verse again, verse number 9, of sin because they believe not on me. He'll let you know you're not a believer. He'll let you know you're not a part of the family, that you're lost, that you're separated from God. You are a sinner. Now, I've been preaching in thunder hard today, but I won't be able to convince you of that. But if the Holy Ghost, amen, if the Holy Ghost begins working in your heart, there won't be no question. Because when I asked you if you remember a time the Spirit of God convicted you, revealed to you you was lost, you can go back to that. Amen. You say, well, I don't know. Well, wait a minute. You will know. Because the Spirit of God is very plain when he reproves you of sin. He doesn't say, now, if you were saved, you wouldn't do this. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cuts through the chase, and he either says you're lost or you're saved. That's it. He ain't going to say, well, what about this? What about, no. Whenever there's a voice coming and say, well, if you was really saved, had you really got any conviction, God say, then ain't no way you had done that. I can tell you whose that voice is. That's the devil. Because the Spirit of God is very plain and he goes straight to the issue. If you're not saved, he'll reveal that to you. Amen. I said this morning, and listen to me, talk about getting under conviction in Sunday school as a boy. Do you know I can go back to that place? Even though I'm not there in body and my mind, I can go back to the spot that the Spirit of God smote my heart and showed me I'm lost. That's right. You see, when I was lost, it was plain. Plain. And not only can I tell you the spot I got lost, I can take the spot I got saved. Amen. Now, here's the thing that kind of messes some preacher's theology up. I don't know a date on the calendar. Did you get that? I have no, all I can tell you, it's around the spring 1980. Got baptized after I got saved in May of 1980. But somewhere in the early spring, on a Tuesday, the Holy Ghost smote me again and convicted my heart again, and I repented and he saved me. Can't give you a date, but I can take the spot. I don't know what time it was on the clock, but I know this, I'm saved forever. Amen. That's how, listen, don't get caught up in a lot of these other things. You just need to be settled in your heart that you've been born again. The Spirit of God convicts an individual. You see, when we get over in the book of Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching his sermon, in verse 54, the Bible said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. You know how they got cut to the heart? The Spirit of God. Because the very next verse lets us know Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God was speaking that day. Amen. Hey, we can go over to Acts 16. How full about this, about that, that prison guard in Acts 16 there at Philippi. We find that the Philippian jailer, rather, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And it wasn't long after that, God sent an earthquake and the doors of the prison flung open and their bonds fell off. And this jailer man would have killed himself. Paul said, don't do yourself no harm. Well, here's what the Bible said about him, about the jailer. It said, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the Spirit of God drawing a man. You see, there's no doubt when it's him speaking. We read in the book of Acts also in chapter 26, let me read you a verse there. In Acts chapter 20 or 24 first, let me read that. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24 and 25. The Bible said, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call. What made him tremble is the Spirit of God revealing he's lost. Ladies and gentlemen, that conviction is of utmost importance. Revealing your sin. Hey, and he said of righteousness. He said it like this, because I go to my Father, John 16:10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Remember what I said to you this morning? I said you can only get to heaven by being as righteous as God is righteous. Amen. You see, he said, I go to my Father. Why could Jesus do that? He is righteous. Amen. And if you get to heaven, you're going to have to be as righteous as God is righteous. And that can only happen through Jesus Christ. Not do's and don'ts, doing betters or doing without. It comes through the new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, we find, then he said also, of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. He is referring back to the fact that hell was originally created for the devil and those fallen angels. That's why hell was created. But when Adam and Eve sinned, it plunged everybody after them into sin. And a person that don't receive Christ goes to hell. That's right. Hey, friend, I heard this. Brother Tim, we've talked about this before. Somebody said, well, being afraid of going to hell ain't a good enough reason to get saved. It's a pretty good one. You ought to be afraid of going to hell. Amen. Because it ain't an overnight trip. It ain't a little while and burn up and cease to be. It's an eternity of suffering separated from God. Amen. Hey, so the Spirit, he must convict. That's the first stage of salvation. The Holy Ghost has to draw you. Now, I've been around this my whole life, but I wasn't interested in getting saved till the Spirit of God convicted me. Amen. I'm going to keep preaching that till Jesus comes, by the way, because that's the Word of God. Amen. Hey, not only the Spirit convicted, but let me say secondly, the soul converted. You get converted in your heart. Amen. Now there's a crowd. They want to break everything down in these steps. But I want to tell you something. You hear me real good. Faith and repentance and confession and believing, they're tied together. When your heart turns from sin and self, turns to the Savior, immediately you're born again. They'll say, well, did you get saved in the pew or in the altar? Somewhere between there and there. Wherever it was, my heart turned. That's it. Amen. And you know what? You can even tell. I can tell you about where I was. Right there. That's right. Yes. I remember that time when God so changed my heart. He saved me. Amen. You see, here's what the Bible said in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, back in our text, Psalm 22, he said that they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Well, Jeremiah said it like this, Jeremiah 29, 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I do not believe a person that wants to be saved will come to Christ and get turned away. Now, I've been in this thing a while, and I've seen folk come to the altar, say their rats around, and say, I want to be saved, and you pray with, and you quote scripture to them, and on you go, and it's just nothing happening. Can I say something right there? They're looking for something other than salvation. They're looking for an emotional experience or some bolt out of the blue. Are you hearing me? Hey, salvation's not a feeling. It is you turning to Christ in your heart. You say, I felt something. I did too. But I wasn't praying to ask God to save me to feel it. I just found that as a benefit. Amen. I mean, from my heart, I went to seeking him. And that night, as a 10-year-old boy, I was not stopping short of getting saved. If it took all night, I was going to stay there. But it didn't take 2 or 3 minutes. Just to be real honest about it. The work's already been done. My heart was a-turning, and I bowed down, and instantly God saved me. Amen. Hey, it was a conversion. Look back at Acts with me just a minute. I got thinking about old Brother Paul. Old Brother Paul. His name was Saul to begin with. And boy, we find in Acts chapter 8, he was consenting to the death of Stephen and held the coats and things. And then Acts chapter 9, look at this with me. You talk about a conversion. You talk about a soul being converted. Oh, Brother Saul got converted. The Bible starts out in Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, what way? The way of Christ. This way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We find that Paul got smote down by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Oh, he had a sunstroke. An S-O-N sunstroke. Amen. And somebody has asked me, how could Paul be an apostle when you had to see the resurrected Christ? What do you think happened right there? Hey, man, I'm pretty well satisfied with that. Hey, he encountered the Lord Jesus on that road. But listen, go on down to verse number 17. Look at this. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, he has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes it had been scales, and received sight, forthwith arose and was baptized. Then look down to verse number 20. We find it straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. We see that Saul was converted. He was changed. He started Acts 9 breathing out threatenings, locking folk up that was following the Lord Jesus. And before the chapter's done, he's one of them. You talk about a fella could sing, I'm one of them. Amen. You talk about a fellow would say amen to a song. And I don't know if you know that. That is a Methodist hymn I sung to you tonight. And it didn't even convert you. You're still a Baptist. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Oh, but Brother Paul could say, I didn't want to be one. He didn't. He hated the way of Christ. He was persecuting the church of Christ. But that day, as God encountered him, he called on the Lord. He got saved. It changed Brother Paul. Amen. Hey, I want to ask you something. Did it change you? Did it change you? Now I'm going to help some of you younger Christians just a minute. You say, I don't know. I don't know if it's a change. Well, most of the time you think of change, you think of these that got saved that were drunkards and dopers and all that. And there's a lot of things they did leave behind. But can I say something to you that's never been drunk, you ain't never been a dope head, ain't never been involved in all kinds of immorality? Can I tell you it's going to hell with them? Because you were. Amen. But when you got saved, they began new desires. That's right. Now, even before I saved, now let me help you. I'll help these young folk just a minute. Before I got saved, I didn't want to please my mom and daddy. I loved my mom and daddy to death. Every time I did something wrong, now I wasn't under conviction about what I was doing. I was afraid they was going to find out. Had a world of a difference. But what really bothered me is it disappointed them. I wanted to please, wanted to do right. But can I tell you something? The night I got saved, in my heart, I began to long to want to please the Lord. I did. I began to want to go to church. I got saved at home. I got saved at home in the corner of our living room on a Tuesday night. And after I said amen and got up and knew I said in me, I said, tomorrow night, church night. That quick. Now, before that, I could have cared if we went or not. I knew better than to tell my mama I wasn't going. I was born in the night, but it wasn't last night. And my mama wasn't afraid of no social services. If I told my mama what I wasn't going to do, she'd set my britches on fire with a hickory. That's right. But I fell in love with church after I got saved. I got wanting that Bible. You listen to me? I remember, now listen, I told you, somewhere in the spring of 1980, I got saved. May, I got baptized, early May. Also in May, we had revival meeting. And you know what was different about that revival meeting? I saved. I sat there with my Bible open, 10-year-old boy. Sitting there, that Bible, I wanting everything that preacher had to say. Son Ralph Sexton Jr. was the man preaching, and he is preaching with forked lightning that night, every night. That was one of them old-time revivals that invitation went to midnight, three or four nights. And it wasn't because somebody's working it up. They just wouldn't nobody go home. And I was hanging on every word he said. And then when my pastor getting that pulpit, I was grabbing everything he had to say. Feed me. Feed me. I began writing verses down to remember where they was at and go look them up later. I began hungry. Why? I got saved. Got saved. Now, have you always been right, preacher? No. I got backslid as a teenager. Way, way away from God. But I wasn't happy. Wasn't happy. Wasn't content. Knew where I was supposed to be. You know how miserable it is when you're backslid and you decide to be not too smart and lay out of church? Because you're going to go with your buddy somewhere. Well, I done it one Sunday. Way away from God. But everywhere I went, there was a clock. And every time I looked at the clock, I knew it's church time. Amen. 10 o'clock, I saw it. I ought to be in Sunday school. And by the way, I'm going to throw this out. I'm not against a new convert class nor a convert book, but I had neither. I had the converter living in me. Amen. Got away from that, shook it off. I don't want to think about that. Going on down the way a little bit, see another clock. It's 11. Holy Ghost said, choir's getting up, ain't it, boy? I'm thinking, oh. And then mountain folk in them days sung longer, so we're taught 11:30, 11:45. Another clock. And the Holy Ghost said, your man of God's a mountain the pulpit, and he's a scanning the congregation, and he's come across your pew, and you're not there. And it's got a hold of his heart. That's right. That's being saved and can't get by with nothing. Am I helping you tonight? I'm going to tell you something. You're saved. You can't get by and you won't get by. Amen. Oh, you see, to be converted, there's a change takes place. Then let me say this. Number three, and I'm done. We see the spirit convicts, the soul's converted, but there's also sharing of Christ. Remember what I just read about Paul, verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God, verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased some more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. The one he hated, he's now sharing. What happened to the Samaritan woman in John 4? Huh? Came to that well at noon, ashamed of her sin. Nobody goes to the well over there at noon. And women went in the morning and the evening. But her life was so ruined by sin, nobody'd go with her. She had to go by herself. She didn't know that sitting there at Jacob's well that day was the Son of God. And he even took his disciples in a different route going to where they was heading. Them boys probably thought, we're going through Samaria? Now, Lord, them wicked people, they're wicked. He said, boys, we're going through Samaria. I like to say something out here with inviting folk to church. Somebody said, I think they'd fit in. Can I say something about that right there? I don't care if they got more jewelry than a metal detector let them get through and their hair's lying dragging the ground. They need Jesus. It ain't about them fit. It's them getting born again because the Lord can take care of all that other stuff. Amen. I mean, you that go fishing, you don't clean fish while it's on the string coming into the boat, do you? Amen. You got to get it in the boat first. Amen. Get them here. We're preaching the gospel. That gospel got you saved and it got me saved. It'll get them saved. Say amen right there. Are you hearing me? Hey, that woman came and began to talk about that water and she didn't understand what Jesus said at first. And he just plainly said, listen. If you'd asked of me with water, you'd got living water and you'd never thirst again. Hey, that day at Jacob's well, she got a drink and left with the well. Hey, man, the Bible even said this, she left her water pot. Hey, man, why? She got something that finally would satisfy that void on the inside of her. And she went through town doing what, preacher? Come see a man that told me all I ever did. What are they doing? They're sharing it. Now, again, I'm going to say something. Now, it ain't that I necessarily witness every moment of the day because I don't. But I can tell you this, that next day when I got up after getting saved at home, the first thing I want to do is go find Mama and say, boy, I'm glad to be saved. I'm saved, Mama. And she was there when I got saved. But I won't tell it. And I went to school the next morning, and the Holy Ghost on the way said, won't you tell your best friend? That's right. I don't remember hearing nobody testify, Brother Ben, never. But the Holy Ghost said, tell him. Go tell him. And I did. Amen. Cornered him. I said, I want to tell you, I got saved last night, and I want to know are you. They just something in. Now, again, it ain't that you do it every moment of the day. It ain't that you can say, boy, I got somebody saved. No, but there's just something on the inside. You want them to know the Jesus that you know. Amen. Every now and then, somebody has asked, well, preacher, what's another proof text about being saved? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been led of the Spirit of God to do anything that would bring glory to God? Because Romans said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. The Lord don't lead the devil's young'uns to do none of that. I can tell you beyond a shadow, I've had the Holy Ghost say, you go witness to them. You stand up in service, testify. You preach that message right there. What is that? Spirit of God speaking to me, and I'm wanting to share. Amen. You know, I've not done it here yet, but I probably will. I don't do it a lot. I don't even do it when I'm on the road much. But every now and then, I guess because I'm the pastor and I'm the guest preacher so much, I don't testify a whole lot. But every now and then, I feel the Holy Ghost just nudge me. And I just jump up just like the rest of you and say, I'm glad I'm saved and sit right back down. Amen. That's right. You get wanting to share it. I've preached all day to sinners, and I know that. But I'm telling you, my heart's burdened. I believe God's been a-speaking to somebody. And it could be somebody we'd least expect. But I know this. Jesus will save you right here tonight. Young, middle-aged, senior saint, whoever you are, Jesus is the Savior. And He saves from sin. And I'm glad that He does, aren't you? Father, take this message, use it for Thy glory. I've tried my best to give what You put on my heart. Lord, we do ask You again for that soul that's lost. Oh, may the Spirit of God one more time reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Save them for Jesus' sake. And all You do, we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've done my best to be obedient today. And you're honest with yourself before God. And you know you're not saved. Why not tonight? Now there's times, I won't tell you, yes, Christians doubt. The devil wants you to doubt. Because if you're doubting, you're not going to be wanting to witness much when you're not sure yourself. But I'm going to tell you, there's some mile markers in the life of a child of God that have to be there. That conviction's got to be there before you got saved. That's what revealed His law. That conversion's got to be. You can take us to that spot. That's where it happened. God saved me. And then I believe there's a desire to share Christ with those around you. If you're not saved tonight, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Talk we pray with you. But I'll be real honest, God's a deal with you much. We ain't gonna have to do nothing, just come gather around you. You'll be ready to do business yourself. We're gonna sing, let's stand tonight. This all, and again, as I said this morning, you could be burdened about somebody lost. It could be they're heavy on your heart tonight. And I encourage you to pray. Don't give up on them. You say, preacher, I've been praying and I thought for sure God'd save them. But preacher, they're getting worse. That kind of happens sometimes. But don't give up on them. Keep a praying. Keep a witnessing to them. You say, preacher, it's me, I'm lost. Come to Him tonight. Be saved. Leave out of here a child of God as we sing, the altar's open.